taking a well-deserved trip, and she will be back at our next meeting. Let's have a moment of silence, please, if we may. Thank you. I'll accept the motion to accept the agenda unless anyone has. Okay, it's been moved. Seconded, anybody? I'll second it. All those in favor of accepting the agenda?
Aye.
Very good. Announcements. Does anyone have announcements? Matt? John? June? Noah?
Yes, I have two announcements.
Go for it.
And we actually have a flyer I'd like to direct your attention to on the overhead. These announcements are regarding water use and different options that we have within the city to help empower residents and businesses to begin to address our water supply issues that we have and that we all know the city is dealing with significantly. And what's exciting is we have responsibilities within the city that are being worked on. At the same time, there's opportunities that residents and businesses can utilize to help reduce the burden on the city themselves and empower the residents to have a more of a local water supply and higher efficiency levels within their homes and their businesses. So one of these events is focused on rainwater catchments, which is sponsored by Slow Green Build, the Morro Bay National Estuary Program, Surf Rider, and Sierra Club. And this event's going to be taking place, it's actually two nights. First night, September 2nd, and the second is September 3rd. Tuesday, September 2nd, is going to be in Los Osos at the South Bay Community Center from 6:30 to 9:30. And these events are highlighting an internationally known speaker named Brad Lancaster, who's the author of a book called Rainwater Catchment, Rain Harvesting for Drylands and Beyond. And the focus of the night will be on highlighting some of the things that we can do to collect the rainwater that comes down at different times during the year and utilize that water in the best way possible so we are minimizing our needs for water from outside resources. The second night will be here in Morro Bay. That's the September 3rd, and it's going to be right here at the Veterans Hall. And you'll be happy to know that the city of Morro Bay is one of our sponsors and will be involved with the presentation. And there will also be kind of a festive mood in the air to celebrate the opportunities and things that we can empower ourselves with. So there will be pizza, beer and wine, and live music. So it's a $10 suggested donation. And you can get more information about both of these events at slowgreenbuild.org. That's slowgreenbuild.org. Both of the nights will take place from 6:30 to 9:30, and there will be room for questions and discussion. Now, the second of these events is also focused on water, and let's see if I can find myself here. Thank you, Bob. And this is actually going to be taking place in Los Osos. It's going to be a bit more of an interactive workshop with booths and vendors of all different varieties. And there's a really impressive list of sponsors and participants in this, including the city of Morro Bay again. And the title is Saving Our Water, One Drop at a Time, Activating Water Conservation Through Self-Education. This event's free. Saturday, September 13th at the South Bay Community Center. The booths will be open from 1 to 4, followed by a potluck supper and ice cream social. And then it will be a sneak preview, a new film for the first time showed in the county called Flow. It just highlights water and different issues within our water supply. So both of these events are really exciting opportunities to get out there and find out things that you can do to empower yourself and help stabilize our water supply, which is all of our responsibilities.
Is that it? Excellent. Thank you, Noah. Bill, do you have any announcements? Staff, any announcements? Okey-doke. We, written communications. I don't know whether this letter from Jack Jennings that came in July that we never responded to, are you familiar with this?
No.
How did we get it in the packet? Silver City Resort. Did anybody else get? Huh. Well, a mystery has developed. Love mysteries. I'll figure it out. Thank you. Okey-doke. Public comments. At this time, anyone in the audience wishing to make a public comment, you may now do so. Mention your name, please. 3 minutes, give or take.
Okay.
It's all yours. Thank you, Marla. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Ewing. I'm just here. I see that you're going to be discussing the Morro Basin citizen presentation regarding the city's nitrate study of Morro Valley from June 18 tonight, and I'm one of the presenters, as you remember, and I'm just here to ask that you had quite a bit of discussion at that time, and the one thing that we were looking for is a recommendation from PWEB to the City Council that we be officially agendized on the Morro Bay City Council agenda to give that presentation, and we're still making that same request. Thank you.
Thank you, Marla. Anyone else wish to come forth? Hi.
My name is Carrie Burton.
Welcome, Carrie.
Thank you. I wanted to come tonight. I'm a property owner out on Choro Creek Road.
Okay.
So I'm affected by the Choro Basin. I bought some property out there, my husband and I, and we have two little boys. And unfortunately, our well is contaminated. Where the city's wells are and our well is within a stone's throw, within sight distance. And I wrote something up because I'm not a good speaker, so I wanted to read this off to you. I'm sure Dylan has heard of me because I've contacted them saying, you know, I have concerns. I think I know the source. I'm not a scientist, but I do have some paperwork that I would like you guys to look at that I found from the 70s of some concerns that the county of San Luis Obispo had that if something wasn't done, the possibility of future contamination of the Choro Basin, and that was over 30 years ago. And I think that it would probably be pretty interesting for you to look at to see that, wait a second, somebody was aware of something in the 70s, nothing was done, and isn't it suspicious? So let me go ahead and read this real quick. My property is very close to all the city wells. As we know, there's contamination with these wells, and we need to find the source. My well smells like soap and sewer, and I invite all of you to come out and smell it. I really do, because I turn it on and I can smell it. I now have to use state water. My well is within 150 feet of these city wells, and not all of our wells in the Choro Valley are contaminated. Not all of them. We're all very close, 1 to 3 parcels. So it's very suspicious that, you know, 1 or 2 wells are contaminated and the rest are not. It is my opinion that it's not nitrates in the Choro Valley, especially since, you know, like I said, only some are contaminated. If it was nitrates, it would affect us all. Upon my research, I found 30-plus documents dated from 1972 to 1979 in which the County of San Luis Obispo planning head, Ned Rogaway, states over and over that the current sewage facilities on a 3-acre property located at Choro Creek Road would, quote, jeopardize Morro Bay's main water well. Chick Greenlish, Morro Bay Planning, also opposed the project and feared the same. Between the smell of my well and the documented historical fears, the County Planning Commission and the Planning County Commission, it is my opinion that our wells are contaminated not by nitrates but by sewage from septic and leach fields. The County of San Luis Obispo code enforcement recently told me on the phone that they don't know why they dropped the ball and nothing was done in the 70s. They just have no idea. If my suspicions are correct, the county failed to act. And they knew it would be an environmental hazard, and they failed to act. I literally can see the creek that goes to the bay from my house. I think that the county should be liable. I think they should be liable and held accountable. If it's proven to be that is the source of the contamination, I think it's probably very important that you guys have these documents and research it to say, wait a second, if somebody knew and dropped the ball, then they need to be accountable for it. We could be using this water, conserving our resources, protecting our bay, and cutting the cost of state water that's being used. I ask that you review these documents, and again, feel free to come to my home, and it doesn't, you can turn it on. You can smell it. It smells like Tide laundry soap and sewer when you turn on my well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carrie. Have you given any of this information to staff at all?
There's a group of us, there's 30 of us, people out in that valley. We wrote a letter with our concerns. I've talked to the mayor. I've copied it to city council members. The thing that's so discouraging to me is I can't even get, we're working on it. I can't even get, you know what, let's check into it and I'll get back to you. I am so disgusted and disappointed that I can't even get, hello, you know, oh, wow, thank you for the information. I shouldn't have had to dig these up. I mean, 30 documents of the fight, and then it just stopped. Okay. I'm very disappointed.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
Come forth, Richard. Good evening.
Good evening. Richard Sadowski, citizen North Morro Bay. And I would just like to reiterate what Marta Jo Bruton stated earlier. I was one of the presenters on the Morro Basin Nitrate Study Review, and I would like to have be formally agendized for the Morro Bay City Council to make that presentation. And also, I would like to add as a comment, yesterday there was a scoping meeting for the Ocean Protection Council in Oakland, and I went there with a colleague, Mr. Dave Nelson, who is quite educated on the once-through cooling problem with the Morro Bay Power Plant, and he made presentations to the staff members there in the Coastal Conservancy with regards to those issues. And I was glad to see that in your announcement about LID. LID is a very very active thing, and then they're refining that process, low impact development. And I just like to reiterate to the public and to the boards that low impact development is only low impact if it doesn't surcharge an existing dilapidated sewer infrastructure. So we have to take into account everything when we look at low impact development. Take into account our current conditions, address those issues. Thank you very much. Have a great meeting.
Thank you, Richard. Is there anybody else in our public audience that wishes to make a comment at this time? Miss Nancy, do come forward, please, and welcome.
No, I'll just hold it up. I'll lower this also. Just in case anybody doesn't know yet, the city of Morro Bay has an official flower.
Your name, please, Nancy.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Nancy Johnson, and I am currently the chairperson for the Dahlia Day celebration. It just so happens that the dahlia has been the city flower for the city of Morro Bay since the mid-1960s. And thanks to a wonderful lady named Grace Melton, we're revitalizing the celebration of the dahlia, the city flower. And on this coming Saturday, August 23rd, from 1 to 4 at St. Timothy's, we will have a wonderful Dahlia Days celebration. We will have some fantastic local artists there with their work to show. We'll have dahlias from Morro Bay. I think we're going to have some from up in the community garden. We're going to have Dr. Joe Sable and his wife Jill from San Luis Obispo, who grow the biggest, most fantastic dahlias you've ever seen. And we have a floral designer who's planned a wonderful program for all of us, designing floral arrangements with dahlias and other things. And we have some very special guests coming, some of whom will be doing flower arrangements, although they may not know that yet. And we have one super special guest that's a surprise guest. So please join us from 1 until 4 at St. Timothy's this coming Saturday and celebrate your city flower, the dahlia. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Appreciate the info and sharing it with us, and have a wonderful Saturday.
You better be there.
I'm trying. Do I get a dahlia?
David, of course.
Oh, thank you. Is there anyone else? Miss Jane, greetings.
Greetings. Jane Von K, 2755 North Morro Bay. I'm not sure if this is the forum to suggest something about trees, but...
I actually, we're going to be discussing that in a little bit, and I will open that up to the public.
Okay.
But if you don't want to stay and you wish to make a statement...
I would rather not. I have four dogs waiting for dinner.
Feel free to speak your piece right now, please.
The thing that seems to annoy me the most is that I've been here 28 years, and it says it's a tree city, but as you come into town, we've got those really ugly pine trees that nobody's bothered to take out that are dead. And I don't understand why, you know, the city can't just have them taken out, because they are really ugly and an eyesore. And I was wondering if it was still the rule that if you take a tree down, you're meant to plant two in its place, because that's what it was when I came here. And it seems like you take three out and not even one goes in, I think. So that's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jane. Anyone else for public comment? Okie doke. We'll bring it back to the board. And the next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes June 18th, 2008. Does any member have any questions? If not, I would move approval of the minutes.
I'd second that.
Very good. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Dylan? Your show, you're up to bat on the nitrate update on the Morro Valley nitrate analysis.
Do we want to do director's report first?
I apologize. You're correct. I put my glasses on. I still can't see. Let's do the director's report first, please. Dylan, go ahead, and thank you for the correction.
Just a general update, kind of some of the main things that we're working on right now. Fire station coming along. I don't know if any of you have had the opportunity to get by there, but we've got stucco going up, and you know, pretty soon we'll be hoisting a big medallion up on it, starting to get to some of those finishing touches. That project should be wrapping up later this year, in probably late October is our timeline. So that's very exciting for us. Other major things going on, not a whole lot of other projects that really are under construction at this point in time. At some point, we'll be kicking back off on the roundabout again, wrapping that up. That should happen this fall, probably sometime after Labor Day. I would anticipate that we'll restart that and then finish it sometime before Harbor Festival.
Is now a time to ask a question about the roundabout?
Yeah, I'll unless, Rob, you got anything you want to kind of highlight?
Well, why don't you go ahead and take a question, and then we'll go.
I just wanted to know if there's been any alleviation of remediation. That's not the word. What's happening with the tree in the mobile station?
We basically are in negotiations with them at this point in time, but we think we're going to get that wrapped up.
In our favor?
Enough so that we can move the project forward.
Okay.
Dylan, if I could add to that, I have a question about that. Were those problems with the mobile station and the U-Haul place, were those anticipated, those issues?
No. Let me kind of speak to that a little bit. A lot of people ask, what happened, how this happened? A couple of things occurred. When they first kicked off the project, there were some questions about the design, so we decided that we would go out and do a peer review. In that peer review process, we actually came back, and they came back with some very useful suggestions that we've adopted. And so we've modified the design of the surface improvements for that project. In that process of modifying the design and tweaking the geometry a little bit, the project moved a little bit towards the north. And so previously, we were going to be taking some property right there along and in front of the ARCO station. And in lieu of that, we actually shoved north a little bit, and now we're impacting the U-Haul and the mobile. So that really didn't shake out until earlier this year. So the project went on hold for a little bit once it started construction, before they even did any work. Then we started construction thinking, okay, well, we should be able to get this all worked out. There were some changes in the way that the state does eminent domain. It's been kind of a hot topic lately. There have been some rule changes in regards to that. And so we kind of got caught up in a new process, and frankly, the process took us longer than we thought it would. And so we got sort of stuck again on a timeline. And so we paused the project again. And then what we'll do now is once we get through all those negotiations, get that all worked out, then we'll go ahead and finish off the project.
What's happening with the tree?
The tree will be removed in that location. We actually have to, that's got to go in order to make room for a handicap ramp.
Are we planting two or three trees elsewhere?
We will be putting in some replacement landscaping, and I'm sure that will include some trees.
Very good. Thank you.
I have a question. And what was the reason that it had to be tweaked? The whole project had to be shifted. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, the major modification that was made coming out of the peer review, and anybody who lives in Morro Bay can kind of tell you, there's a couple problems in that intersection. Some of them we can fix with this project. Some of them Caltrans won't let us fix with this project because we kind of interface with Caltrans a little bit there. But the reason that the project shifted to the north is that we added a second lane coming in from Highway 1. So if you exit at Highway 1 North, get off on Morro Bay Boulevard, come over the bridge, when you come off that approach, there now will be two lanes. One of those will be sort of like a right turn only, so we're kind of protecting that right turn movement, and then we're adding the sort of the blending with the roundabout. So what happened was we basically added a lane of traffic right there, and then that shoved us north a little bit.
I'll add a little bit to that. Also, the approach geometry was too straight. You need curves to increase friction or slow people down. So they needed to add a curve in there, which causes people to slow down as they go into the roundabout. Otherwise, there would be shortcutting into the roundabout. The Morro Bay Boulevard leg was too straight directly through, so we needed to offset it a little bit to increase that friction.
With that in mind, then, is the project still going to encroach on the ARCO land and the mobile and U-Haul land, or now since we've moved it, are we not going to go onto the ARCO land?
Correct. We're not going to go onto ARCO. So we're just impacting mobile and U-Haul.
Sign program is well underway. We've now got permission from Caltrans to move our Highway 1 sign from the far vista where it was originally placed 40 feet away from the pavement to about where our city limit sign is near South Bay Boulevard, much closer to the roadway, so you can actually see the sign now. It's not in a clear zone. They also took another look at the 41 sign and allowed us to move it closer to the highway there since it was sitting up on top of an embankment and there was really no way for a vehicle to hit it. So we moved that one closer. And then the ones around downtown are also being installed. I believe we have three or four left to install. Along the lines of the roundabout project, we're completing our plans for the major overlay this year for Morro Bay Boulevard and Main Street. So hopefully that can follow on closely on the tails of the roundabout project and complete the, you know, the main entrance into town. And that, with that, I think I've highlighted my major projects. Thanks.
If I could ask you a question there, Rob. With that, so the thing holding it up is the agreement with the mobile station and the U-Haul? Those streets, because we're waiting to finish the roundabout before we do Morro Bay Boulevard?
That's more of a scheduling issue. We don't want to have construction during the peak of the tourist season because it will drastically impact parking and access into the downtown for the few weeks that we're doing an overlay. So we want to wait until after Labor Day before we do, and it makes sense to sort of tie it in with the roundabout project if possible.
So then we're looking at the middle of September, end of September?
That's probably a good time frame for...
So then people in town could really expect to understand that there's a lot of paving
exactly.
going on?
Exactly. And okay. We're going to be going door-to-door to those businesses downtown and letting them know when we get a firm date, what those dates are going to be.
And we do have agreement with the mobile owner then to make these changes?
For the overlay project, it's only within the existing street right away. So basically curb to curb. So there's no need on the overlay project to get right away or agreements.
I think June was asking about the roundabout. They countered our proposal. The city attorney is evaluating that, and you know, without saying, we've shaken hands. I think we're pretty close. Yeah.
Does anybody else have any further questions?
If I could ask one more follow-up.
Sorry to belabor this, Rob.
Sure.
So we're not going to do the overlay until we get that agreement for the roundabout. Dylan.
Until we get the agreement on the roundabout, there's no reason for us to keep going. So we've got to build the improvements there. The overlay probably will follow on the heels of the roundabout. That's not a firm scheduling constraint. It's just more of a sort of a pragmatic approach. Is how many projects do we want to have going and how many different spots that Rob and I can manage. And so I would anticipate that it'll probably shake out that it will follow the roundabout, but only... Just basically that's the schedule's going to work out.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that the public was aware about the fall cleanup week coming up, which is September 8th through 12th, where residents can put out up to two cubic yards of material to be picked up by the garbage company. As far as I understand, there's no charge for that. And 2 yards is the equivalent of 12 32-gallon containers. The 32-gallon is the smallest size waste wheeler that the garbage company puts out. So it's quite a bit of material. But we would encourage people to recycle what they can and not put everything out there or give it to possibly to a charitable organization or put it in their green waste container. Do the best they can to find other avenues to dispose of their material, but that is available to them at no charge. And the other thing that's mentioned here is the household hazardous waste facility on Highway 41 across from the high school is open Saturdays from 11 to 3 every week. And they will take things like batteries, fluorescent tubes, paint thinners, pesticides, insecticides, any type of material like that. And again, that's at no charge as well.
Thank you, Jim. No.
Yeah, I did want to follow up a little bit on the state water shutdown period. I think it's an important update for us to have before we get into the next agenda item. And I think I'd just like to let you guys give an update of the plan there with our desalination plant and potentially highlight anything that we have in the works as far as preparation for that period.
Happily, I'll speak to that. In years past, during the state water shutdown, we were able to talk them into giving us a little bit of water. And so every year up until now, even though the project was shut down, they were able to feed us a little bit of water. And with that little bit of water that they fed us, in conjunction with our ability to treat at the desal plant, its current capacity, and then also with a couple of the wells out in the Chorro Valley that have held good, we were able to meet our water supply. This year, they're not going to be able to do that because they're inspecting the pipeline. So basically, the pipe goes dry. We don't get anything from state water. What that does for us is it creates a very challenging water supply situation for those 2 weeks in November. As far as plans underway, kind of the plan A is that we've ordered 2 RO membrane trains from GE. We have entered into a purchase agreement for those devices. They should be showing up in October, and we're going to try to shoehorn them in and get them up and operational in time for the November shutdown. So if that goes through as planned, then what will happen is we'll be able to sail right through without any impact. We'll be able to treat all the water that we need to through our RO plant and meet our water demands. If for some reason that project isn't successful, then we're going to have, you know, that's where you start looking at Plan B, Plan C on down the line. We do have some agreements out there with CMC that possibly could get us some more water, Also, I've talked to some manufacturers about potentially renting nitrate treatment equipment that we could put at our wellheads. So there's a number of options out there. But right now, the goal is to have the permanent installation in and installed in time for the November shutdown.
Is everything on schedule right now, the way it's going?
The way it's going right now, the schedule is phenomenally tight. I mean, you go, it's going to be very close. And so we'll scramble and push to do it. That's really my primary focus right now.
As far as notification of residents about the potential challenges that we have, and really there may be a call to action on behalf of everyone within the city, have you begun that process so we can employ that plan as seamlessly as possible if for some reason, whether it's the upgrade of the plant to unforeseen challenges, but we can handle that problem?
Correct. One of the reasons that we're bringing it back to you guys tonight is basically to get the word out there. That's kind of why we have the nitrate update. I'll be taking this to council also. I would anticipate then either probably at this point, it'll probably be in the October newsletter. We'll send out a newsletter just, you know, giving people a heads up about nitrates. And then we do have a plan in place. If for some reason we did have, you know, a problem or an unforeseen condition, we have a notification plan in place where we would put door hangers on everybody's door in Morro Bay, where we would call every phone number in Morro Bay and try to reach residents and get the word out. If, for example, in 2006 we had an issue where our nitrate levels were exceeded for a couple of days above the safe drinking water standard, and so we've put some plans in place in case something like that were to happen again, we'll be a lot quicker about getting the notice out.
So the plan of action at that point would be to use the city wells to the best of our ability and warn people, notice people that the water was not safe for direct ingestion and should be carefully handled.
Correct. Worst case scenario is that we would have, we can't let the water tanks go dry because those water tanks are also used for fire protection. And so you go, we couldn't really, it would be very irresponsible for us to be in a situation where we didn't have the ability to suppress a fire in Morro Bay. That wouldn't be good. So worst case scenario, the worst thing that could happen if for some reason we didn't get the upgrade in, if we couldn't get water from another place, if we couldn't get wellhead treatment, if none of these options sort of panned out, then we would have water in our system that would be high in nitrates and we would notify people not to drink.
And to confirm, it's a 2-week shutdown?
Correct. It's a 2-week period. I would anticipate, I've got some more discussions to do with the CCWA, which is the authority that a ton, actually. We've got a huge effort underway in the dune restoration.
Well, I was thinking more along the
as far as decorative vegetation, we've planted a dune-type species that's ornamental. If you got out there a couple months ago, you could see the little wildflowers kind of growing in that area. Those weren't just volunteers. We actually did put in a seed mix that has some ornamental dune plants. But there is not a plan, at this point at least, to do like formal landscaping. So we weren't planning on doing anything there. I would anticipate that there may be some people in the community that would like to see something there. And in time, we could get there. But right now, there's nothing in place.
So what you're suggesting is something that Morro Bay Beautiful might take a look at and put under their hat.
My guess is if they find a nice patch of dirt in Morro Bay, it's hard to keep them out of there. They do such a great job. And so that was kind of my thought also.
Well, good. Now that we've made these thoughts public, let's hope they do something about it. Thank you very much. Anybody else have one further comment to make before we...
I did want a quick update, I guess, on the general tone of the Regional Water Board's comments about our stormwater management plan. It sounds like they responded to us, and there's some adjustments that may need to be made.
Yes, there's. They sent us a table with a couple dozen comments on it. Some were substantive. The major emphasis of theirs was in the area of measurable goals and how will we basically account for any, for example, in our public education campaign, how are we going to measure success? They wanted more detail on that. How will we evaluate that program? And it's very expensive, and in public education, to actually measure success, we use kind of the typical tack that is used in a lot of plans and was in the EPA reference documents by documenting the number of brochures that are distributed, and they want us to go beyond that with, you know, perhaps some sort of surveying system. I think that we can look at that in out years, but in the first few years, it's going to be beyond our means to devote, you know, all everything towards that. There was a few typos in the report. That
I'll have the opportunity to kind of grind through the report. Just a couple of points I wanted to highlight. I didn't bring a formal presentation tonight. Mostly I was here just to kind of answer any questions that you guys had about it and to sort of bring you an update on this. Probably the biggest area of movement that we've seen is actually we've had a letter from the regional board that was addressed to Richard Sadowski that we were copied on. And that letter I've attached behind my staff report tonight. But in this letter, the gist of this is the Regional Water Quality Control Board had their staff there go through and sort of pick apart our analysis. And they went through and reviewed the analysis that Cleith and Associates had done on the Moro Valley nitrate study. They concurred with our findings and basically validated both the methodology and the findings in the Cleith report. So you can look at that as like a third-party review by the experts of the Regional Water Quality Control Board. And what they said is, hey, your Cleith analysis is absolutely technically correct. To the extent that they've actually begun inspections out in the Moro Valley. So the Regional Board is taking action to go out in the Moro Valley to review the farm programs, the farm practices, and they're basically getting geared up to take enforcement action if need be. So the Regional Board's on the move. Of course, not as quickly as I think everybody in Moro Bay would have liked to have seen, but we do have to give credit where credit's due. So the Regional Board is taking action then on this item. That was kind of the main item that I wanted to highlight. We've had discussions with most of the farm community on September 3rd or September 9th, we're hosting a workshop. I don't remember the date, but it's on my calendar. We're hosting a workshop actually in this building also for members of the farm community, and it's an education and outreach on nitrates, their use, on the analysis, how to determine how much they need for their crops, what their crop demand is, and that's going to be hosted by the city of Moro Bay. So we're reaching out. We were given the sort of the multi-pronged approach, the direction that we got from council when we took this item to them, was to work in cooperation with the farming interests and the farming community. We're doing that. We've met with the farming groups. We've met with most of the farmers individually. We're hosting a workshop there. And then also to work with the Regional Water Quality Control Board. And we've done that also. I've met with the members and staff of the Regional Water Quality Control Board. They're working on the issue. And so we're starting to see some forward momentum. What that means to us in terms of solution.
Is staff and or anybody dealing with the Choro Valley wells, specifically what Carrie brought to us earlier this evening in public comment, and what's happening out there, and should we be including the Choro with the Moro at this time?
To date, I've kept those valleys separate. We are, I mean, I'll throw it out there because I think it's germane. We have started an analysis in the Choro Valley. Cleith and Associates is again doing that analysis. They've begun sort of the information gathering stage. We'll get them copies of the information that Carrie provided to the Cleith and Associates. We also aware of the issues, though, out there with there are a lot of issues out in the Choro Valley that we're looking into. And so we're going to go through and do sort of the exhaustive analysis, take samples from all the wells that we can get to, and start comparing, you know, the mineral content and the ionic content of the well water to determine what the source of the nitrates is that we're seeing out there.
Okay, so she can feel at ease, and whatever citizens have heard this, they can feel at ease. her situation is being addressed.
I would say I wouldn't want people to be at ease yet. We're looking at the problem. We're trying to figure out what's going on.
Right.
We will bring that report back. That report will come back. It'll do this whole same rounds that the Moro Valley Nitrate Analysis did. We'll go through the same show on that as we did as the Moro Valley Nitrate Analysis. That process, when we'll have that report, my guess would be at earliest would be the end of this year. Probably sometime early next year is when that report will come out. We'll get that report. We'll see what its findings are. Once that happens, we'll take it to everybody, get some direction on how we want to proceed with that, with those findings, and then work towards a long-term solution out in that valley. We certainly, though, share interests in regards to the groundwater quality in Moro Valley, our Chorro Valley. We want to see, good, clean water. That's a key source of water supply for the city of Moro Bay.
Okay, thank you, Dylan. Does that answer some of your questions and alleviate, at least for now? Okay. Thank you, Carrie, for bringing that to our attention also. Let's see.
Roger.
Just a moment, please. Richard and Marla Joe presented made a presentation at our last meeting, and we were unable to make comments. Dylan has prepared a nitrate report, quite succinct, I think. So, based on
this, the Men's Colony hearing at the Regional Water Board in September, early September 4th and the 5th, as a component to our efforts with the Chorro Valley.
Not at this time. We're not taking a stance on the CMC plant. I mean, except for the fact that we want their plant to run great, run well. There always are learning curves anytime you break in a new plant. They are facing mandatory fines from the Regional Water Quality Control Board for their major spill that occurred when they lost their backup power generation. It didn't function as intended. And then I believe they're also facing some fines for some violations that they were facing in regards to kind of their plant startup and some operational parameters. Our biggest concern right now in that valley is the nitrate loading. We certainly will be looking at their discharge in relationship to the nitrate levels in the valley. I think that will be germane to our analysis out there.
Thank you.
Okay, why don't we start? Bill, do you have any questions based on Richard Zadowski and Marla Joe's presentation?
I don't have any questions. Of course, I wasn't here, as you know, but I made a DVD on the meeting, and I've gone over that thing several times to familiarize myself with everything that was said. And so that doesn't leave any questions I'm going to ask of staff. I could make a couple of comments on it, but that's something else.
Well, let's hold off on comments until we get the questions from everybody, and then I'd be very happy to hear your comments. Noah, why don't you continue with your questions, if any, please?
Yeah, some of my questions are in regard to the questions that we had at our last meeting, and one was Mr. Schultz talked about some of the and answered some of our questions to the best of his ability, but he was definitely not as involved with these issues as you are. So, the one I think. That would be important for us to get feedback on in the public is regarding the bioxide use in Cayucas, and he said that was discussed as an issue at the JPA meeting, but if you could go into that a little bit more as far as the dialogue with Cayucas and their awareness of the issue potential.
Sure. Our discussions with Cayucas, I don't want to, mislead anybody in regards to what we've looked at, what we've talked about with them. We are aware they use bioxide in Moro Bay's wastewater stream, looked at the wastewater streams, and determined, based on the ionic content and the mineral content, you basically, when you're doing a report like this, let me step back a little bit. When you're doing a report, I'm not the groundwater expert. Certainly, Cleith and Associates could answer these questions better than I can. But when you do an analysis like this, you take a sort of a global look, and then you hone in on specific areas, and you say, okay, well, what's the mineral content of this water here? And you go, how does that interact and explain what the mineral content is somewhere here downstream? So you kind of look at all these different little pieces. You look at isotopes, you look at mineral content, you look at loadings, you know, so they calculated loadings. They said, well, if everybody's septic tank failed up in the Moro Valley, how much nitrogen would that put out? What kind of impact would that be? And so you go through the analysis and you just sort of look at what the data tells you and you start eliminating things as possibilities. So one of the things they quickly eliminated was they said, okay, well, there's not enough cattle and wild animals in the valley that could be, it's not naturally occurring. Okay, so that was one of the things that they first sort of looked at and quickly eliminated. And then they focused in and they basically, the report boils down to it was one of two items that could potentially cause this nitrate issue. One was the agricultural fertilizers, or the other one would be major leaks from our sewer system. And once they made that determination, then they started picking apart the different factors that go into that, and they looked at the type of nitrogen that they saw. That's where the isotope analysis came in. And they didn't only look at one isotope, because as nitrogen decays, it starts to blend, and the more it's decayed, the less you can tell what source it originally came from. So they also look at the oxygen isotopes, and then that tells you, the combination of those two isotopes tells you pretty reliably what the source is, and to the best knowledge that science can give us at this point in time. Another thing that they did, if you look at through the report and look at the report, there are these things called stiff diagrams, and there are these little orange blobs with different shapes. But they look at the different mineral contents and constituency of the different water streams. So they look at the water up in the Moro Valley, and they looked at the water up above the wells, they looked at the well fields, they looked at our wells, and then they also looked at the wastewater stream. And what they found is that the mineralogy of the water in our wells is consistent with the mineralogy of the wells up in the Chorro Valley. So basically we have the same water. That's our water source. And you use that to kind of own you in on the fact that that's where your water's coming, to sort of an irrational direction, that the water you have is from the upper Moro Valley. It's coming downstream. Then they go through, look at the sort of potential loadings, and they determine that the only thing that could provide that amount of nitrogen was the agricultural practices, the truck crops down in the lower valley. And then if you look at the wells, you go, okay, well, think of the valley as, you know, if you were standing on top of the hill up there halfway between Atascadero and Moro Bay, that's sort of the start of that watershed. That watershed flows all the way downhill to the ocean. You go, our wells are lower than the wells that are up in the valley. And so you start looking at, okay, the wells that are up in the valley are above our wells. Nitrates can't swim upstream. They're not little salmon. You know, they can't migrate upstream. And so you go, the well content of nitrates up there are much higher than what we're seeing in our water. And so that's explained by the groundwater that we collect in our Moro wells is a combination of upper Moro Valley water that comes down with some localized waters from sort of, there's some little small kind of aquifer influence at the base or near the well field. And so you go, that really is the mineralogy that matches our well water. So you go, you know, kind of the story, it paints a very clear picture for people who can sort of grind through the science. I mean, it's a little painful. It, certainly getting through it was not easy for me. I learned some new terms, had to pull out a couple of my textbooks and dust out, you know, and figure out what some of those terms were in the report. But it paints a very clear picture that this is the source water. This is the only possible constituent in that source water that could be causing this, to the extent that the regional board doesn't have any question about where the nitrates are coming from. It's coming from the ag practices in the lower valley.
With that said, I after reading the letter from the Regional Water Quality Board, my conclusion was that they pretty firmly support the fact that they don't think it's from sewer exfiltration. But having said that, there's also one statement in here that I noticed, and I'll read it to you, because it
sure
kind of brings into question whether or not it's all from the agricultural practices.
Okay.
It says here, the Cleith report concludes that the nitrate contamination found in the city's well field is not exclusively a result of nitrate fertilizer applications or exclusively from sewer exfiltration. So when I read that, I thought, well, they're not...
You don't find a smoking gun buried up in the valley somewhere. You don't find the terms that you use in a professional capacity. You know, Cleith, when he prepared his report, his license is on the line. And so he will use statements like indicates, seems to indicate, you can draw the conclusion that, and the regional board is couching their argument in those same languages. Certainly there is a possibility that under certain conditions exfiltration can occur within the city limits of Morro Bay. In the locations near our well, most of the time that's not really physically possible. And the reason for that is that the sewer lines are fairly deep because they run by gravity into the treatment plant on Atascadero Road. So most of the time, those pipes sit underneath the water table. Historically, there probably have been occasions where they've been above the water table. But most of the time, those pipes are underwater. And they're a gravity pipe, so they're basically a big empty pipe sitting there underwater. Well, what will happen is you have a driving head, which is the static water pressure sitting on top of that pipe, that will tend to, water will leak into that pipe. Something can't get out of there. It can't go against that head, that pressure that's pushing, the water's pushing in into that pipe. And so you go, exfiltration in that vicinity causing the problems, it's just really highly unlikely that that could be the case, because there's only rare circumstances in which you could exfiltrate from our sewer system. And if you did exfiltrate under those rare circumstances, it would be highly improbable that you could get sufficient quantity out of that pipe that it would cause the nitrate issue.
What about the issue about the monitoring wells from the gas station at 41 and the fact that, you know, or the theory that possibly they could have penetrated through to the aquifer and the water table and the contamination would have had an avenue to move through into our water table?
Correct. In the Cleith report, the way that they characterize our aquifer is a semi-confined to an unconfined aquifer. So a lot of people think of aquifers, and in most cases, an aquifer is a discrete layer of water-bearing soils. So you go, for example, a lot of people know about Los Osos here because of their problems that they keep having. They have two aquifers. They have a deep lower aquifer, and then they have an upper aquifer. And what separates those is an aquitard. It's a layer of materials that water doesn't readily pass through. So you have these multiple layers. If you poke holes in it, all it's going to do is it would move quicker. But it wouldn't change the end result any. Is that anything in the Morro Valley, water-wise, that falls on the ground eventually is going to make it into our aquifer. So it's an unconfined aquifer. We don't have a layer that protects us, that precludes us, that punching through would cause damage. I don't know. It's kind of hard. I hope I'm explaining it to you clearly. But you get into, geomorphology of aquifers, and it can get a little bit complicated. But basically, think of our aquifer as just being a big pile of rocks right below the dirt surface. And you go, water is going to readily pass through that aquifer. And so if you drill the hole, it doesn't change the fact that water is still going to pass readily through that aquifer. It just would create opportunities for water to pass more quickly.
So with that in mind, Dylan, I don't even want to try and do what you're doing. I'm really impressed that you read that enough to throw out those wonderful terms. If the aquifer is semi-permeable, I think that's the word you used. So in that case, given the ionic content of the Cleith study, and which was done, that would preclude and say, all right, we have studied, and I think then the Brutan-Sadowski concerns are being addressed through that with the ionic study.
Correct. The stiff diagrams and Piper diagrams in the actual Cleith report, it's not hard and fast proof. You know, I mean, we're not ready to go out there and, you know, start hanging people or anything because of the evidence that's here. You do a study, you look at all of the data, and the data points you in logical sort of paths and logical progressions based on what you know about your aquifer, about your groundwater conditions, about the wells, lower and upper valley, about the mineral content. And you know, that all points you in a direction and gives you a very clear idea. But I don't think that, you know, we're saying that there's never any room for any doubt. But what we are saying is that you go, sort of the logical mind follows through the progressions, the steps. Cleith's certainly an expert in groundwater modeling. That's what they're known for. They're world class at that activity. And you go, we hired them and said, hey guys, we don't know what the problem is. Go find it. So they've come back and told us that, hey, this is your problem. It's the agricultural interest. And that's really why we're pursuing that and approaching that, sort of to build on to June's question, is that we've hired the experts. They've given us their opinion.
Okay. June, did you have some more?
I just have one technical question. It's not that technical, but I wish we had a diagram, actually, so we could see kind of the layout of the aquifer and the wells and all that kind of thing. But we don't have that. So, but is groundwater, the term groundwater, used interchangeably with aquifer, or are they two different water bodies?
Think of an aquifer as a bowl, and then groundwater is what it holds. So the aquifer holds the groundwater.
Okay. So they are the same thing, essentially.
Yeah, we're concerned with the groundwater. The aquifer as a whole is what holds the groundwater and influences the, you know, as the water passes through the rocks and the dirt and it kind of filters through the aquifer, it changes the groundwater. And that's how you get that mineral constituency. So you go, your aquifer isn't groundwater, but it's what holds and influences the groundwater.
So it's the whole area where the water is contained, basically.
Correct.
But then when we pull it out, we're just pulling out the groundwater.
Correct.
And that's what goes into our wells.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Noah, go ahead.
Yeah. Actually, I'm interested in what the next round of the Cleith study will involve with the Morrow Valley, and how will that interact with the first round and potentially take us to the next step?
Sure. We've contracted with Cleith to do some more monitoring. I'm not sure that we're going to do much more analysis, but really what we're doing is we're saying, hey, get up there and take a look, and let's start tracking this thing through time. We think we know what the issue is. We've made efforts to sort of engage the farm community to kind of clean up the problem. The regional board's getting involved. So now let's go out there a couple times a year and just see what we got, see what's happening, so that we can sort of build this body of knowledge in time of, you know, what happens on the ground and how does that influence what happens in our groundwater basin. So that's really what we're doing. I don't think we're really doing any more analysis at this point. We're just really out there collecting some more data.
Couple last questions. One is in regards to the potential workshop with the farming community on either the 3rd or the 9th. And previously, when this was discussed at the PWAB, we talked about having a representative, which we decided was myself and Mr. Olson, to be included with these as PWAB's liaison. Would this be the appropriate time for us to...
It's not going to be a lot of fun because it is technical training, but you will get, if you do attend, you will get farm credits towards your farm management plan if you happen to open a farm. I don't think there'd be any problem with you guys going. I think that would be great. And I'll get you the information.
Great. By email?
Yeah, I'll email it to you.
Okay. And I think something that would be important, and you have reviewed this in the past for us, but for the public, is a quick rundown of the prioritized goals within the collection system, and how it appears from discussion that the city is focused mostly on the valley, and there are pieces of the project that focus within Morrow Bay. If you could briefly describe those so we are aware of that component as well.
Hard to be brief. Right now, similar to what's happening in stormwater, they're preparing a stormwater management plan. The state's also requiring us to prepare a sanitary sewer management plan. That plan outlines a bunch of things that from here on into the future we have to do. Most of those things we're already doing. But you go, so it's formalizing some of our plans and procedures. So some of the things we've been doing, and remember, I've only been with the city since, I guess, April 2007. So anything before then, you know, don't hold my feet to the fire. But from that time forward, I'll take, you know, full responsibility for everything that the collection system's doing. Some things that we're working on are major projects right now that are underway in one phase of development or another. The ones that you'll see, probably the order that they'll come out of the pipeline, the first thing you're going to see is we're going to redo Lift Station 2, which is down on the Embarcadero. The next thing that you're going to see come out of the pipeline is Lift Station 3, which is in the corner of Quintana and South Bay Boulevard. After that, you'll see the line on Main Street. That's another major project that we're going to get into, which is basically the line all the way down North Morro Bay that has been talked about a lot. That line will get replaced or rehabilitated or otherwise worked over. We're not far enough to say exactly what strategy we're going to use to repair that line. So those are kind of the three big priorities. In the meantime, though, it's not like sort of as you manage your workload, you have these bigger projects, and then you sort of pick off some of the low-lying fruit when you get the opportunity. And so we are, you know, engaging backhoe contractors. We are doing some little local repairs. We've done some repairs, and we can get to them. And then the bigger projects, they just sort of, you know, they're one after a after another. We're really constrained by staff time is one of the biggest constraints that we have. You go, I've got water, sewer, and then project responsibilities. So you go, we're doing a fire station, we're doing a roundabout, we're doing a harbor walk, and we're while that's happening, we're doing some design on some water projects, we're doing some design on some sewer projects. And you go, we'll just keep cranking out projects as fast as we can. It's in all of our interest to have our infrastructure in the best possible condition.
Very good. Now is the time for comments. Bill, you wanted to, you have a comment or two you wanted to make,
well,
please?
I don't have to be first, you know.
Well, you are now. Go for it.
Okay. Well, I looked at, I say, I went over that DVD I made of the meeting and took in the arguments of Mr. Sadowski and Ms. Mountain, and I did a commendable amount of work, and they came up with what a lot of people would think is a very plausible solutions, you know, and ideas. But at the same time, they're taking on Tim Cleath, who's one of the top water geologists internationally, and he is probably considered points that most of us, including Mr. Sadowski, doesn't realize exist in coming to his conclusions. And as you notice, the Water Quality Control Board, the professionals there, accept Tim Cleese's conclusions too. So when reading both of them, I just have to go along with Tim Cleath, because he's the guy with the credentials and the status.
Very good. Noah?
I think Bill's done a pretty good job of summarizing the issue, especially in reviewing the letter from the regional board. I do agree with June in that letter, although it's strong in identifying the city and the Cleath report as being of good standing and quality work, it does leave the door open for potential influence from other sources, namely the, and I think it's still valid. I was a bit surprised that the regional board didn't respond to the potential of an aquifer breach, or at least discuss that in the letter. I felt like that was ignored, and you did a pretty good job of summarizing why potentially that would be ignored. But when we have an issue as important as water and water supply, as we all know, we need to make sure that we keep every stone under surveillance and make sure that we are doing everything we can. So I actually appreciate the work that the citizens Sadowski and Bruton have done. I think it's important, and equally I believe the city staff and of Morro Bay and Cleath are also doing good work, and I just look forward to seeing continued progress on this issue, and I hope that we can come to some resolution. But also, I think this is an important issue to keep on the radar and to not let it fade away in our dialogue.
What would you like this board to do tonight?
Well, it's Sadowski and Bruton have asked us to recommend that this is visited by the City Council. I think we have gone over this issue as much as the council could. I would like to see the council discuss this issue at some point soon, especially in regards to the upcoming shutdown. It sounds like that will be happening, so that is good. I'm excited to be involved potentially with the discussions, for our board to be involved with the discussions with the farming community. And really, I think if anything, if we can do anything to highlight this as a priority to the council, we should do that.
Good. June.
I'd just like to say that Noah and Bill both expressed my opinion very well. I think that I had some questions about this report. I don't think it's 100% conclusive. I agree that we need to keep an open mind that there could be other issues that may be contributing to the nitrate level. And not that we have to put a lot of energy towards those other options, because I know we have limited resources, but I do think that we need to be aware there could be other factors. And just, I feel like it wouldn't hurt the council to just be aware of their input as well. But I also very much respect your explanation tonight, and the CLEATH report seems fairly conclusive, and along with the Water Quality Control Board saying they support CLEATH, I think we're on the right track with looking at the agricultural component.
Thank you, June. John?
I feel very satisfied with all the analysis been done up until this point, and I think we need to try and start moving forward.
What? Moving what forward?
Progressing from the point we've been at this year.
Mike?
Progressing past our current stage here of...
Oh, I see. Okay.
Digging over the same thing.
Gotcha. Now I understand. Thank you, John. Matt?
Well, number one, I really appreciate Brutana and Sadowski coming and spending all that time. I mean, and on the like hand, I really appreciate Dylan as the project manager for the city spending time and going over this. This is, I think, necessary within our community, given, as Noah and everybody else has said, the huge impact that our water issue is on the city. So although it is contentious, and as John so eloquently put out, it is, we have to belabor it, but it's so important. And so I think it is a long, drawn-out affair, but we should keep going over this. And although it was difficult, I think, for everybody involved, not everybody involved, but for the city, I mean, because we have CLEATH on one hand, and we pay them money, and very well respected, but we have to appreciate and listen to citizens' concerns. So with all that in mind, I would like, as was there to point it out, I would like to make a motion for the city council to have Sadowski and Bruton come and give that presentation. I understand, and John, I really appreciate your point that this could be in danger of belaboring it. However, it was useful for us to see it, I think, for me to see it, because then we had Dylan come back and give us all this other information. We had this letter from the Water Regional Control Board, and that helps us, that informs us. And I think if we went to a bigger audience, if the people who aren't watching our meeting, but it went to the council, they can dismiss it, but at least...
Problems that our wells are having. And I agree with June. I don't think the report is 100% accurate. There's always room for other elements to enter into anything that is negatively happening. Whether or not having them make the same presentation to the council is a good idea or a bad idea, I'm not sure. As John said, it's belaboring, but the public does need to know what's going on. I like the idea of having the council look at a DVD of their presentation and having them be aware of what they presented to us, what our discussion was. I think at this point in time, that would be the road to go down. So if anybody would like to make a motion in that vein, with that, yes, Dylan.
Let me throw myself in here.
Please.
Not to try to overstep my bounds at all.
You're not.
The update you guys have seen tonight, the update that I put together, the staff report I put together, will be going to council on Monday night. And so you go, if there's anything that you want me to interject into that or add to that to sort of cover some of the discussions that we have, that may be an easy route to go.
When you say it's going to council, do you mean it'll be part of their packet for them to review, but it won't come up as a discussion topic?
No, it'll be an action item for council. So it'll go to, I believe we're doing it under the same thing that we did tonight, under basically continuation of old business. So it'll be an update to them. And then actually with some kind of recommendation to them.
But do they have any printed material on the Sadowski presentation? You know, will they actually have been exposed to that presentation?
I just want to be careful. I really don't want to get too into your guys' motion. That's kind of what I look to you guys to do. I know that most of them watched the presentation, most of them seen it, most of them are aware of what actually was discussed. I do have that presentation. I got it electronically, and so I could print that and attach it to the back of the report that I give them, and that would be no problem, and then they would have it.
That sounds like a good idea. How does the board feel about that?
Instead of a motion, that might be a way to streamline it as
right.
Compromise. I mean, everybody, I think, is probably aware of...
You're welcome to make one.
Thank you. I would like this board also to include a statement of our appreciation to Richard Sadowski and Marla Jo Breton for all of their time, energy, and the work they put in, and their concern. And if the board is comfortable with that, I'd like us to recommend that staff make a statement to that effect in your presentation, if you don't mind, that the PWEB was very grateful.
If you could work that with within our previous motion, which was that this is a priority issue in our view, and that we appreciate the work that staff and citizens have put into this, because it is such a large issue, the more eyes, the better on something that's as important as this to the city.
And you might remind them and the viewing audience, our citizenry, that they can get a copy of the DVD at the library on this presentation that Marla Jo and Richard made, and it's an informative one. Okay. Is there anything else the board wishes to do on this matter? Yes, June.
Just a question. So there is a separate DVD, not of our meeting in its entirety, but just of their presentation that's available?
I believe it's of the entire meeting.
It's the meeting.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And if you were to attach something to the report you're giving to the city council?
I would do a printed hard copy of their presentation.
Okay. Not the meeting, just the presentation.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, and so I'd just like to be assured that that definitely will happen as part of their packet for their next agenda.
You bet.
Okay, great.
And since we did not have a meeting last month, that was the June meeting that the presentation was made.
June 18th, I believe. Okay, any last minute comments or questions on this item?
Yeah, what's the motion?
We decided, I guess, not to make a motion. Dylan has all that we need him to have, and he will act accordingly, I'm sure. Thank you, Dylan.
If you would like, I'll reiterate where I'm going with it. So the comments that I heard tonight, add their report to the package that I put together, the update package. Include language that basically the PWEB board appreciates the citizens' efforts, and that this really be reflected as a priority issue for the city of Morro Bay.
Board is a recommendation, draft recommendation, that's going to this board, Public Works Advisory Board, and the Planning Commission regarding revitalizing the Adopt a Tree program. Also took this opportunity to do a brief update on where we sit. Unfortunately, we haven't made much progress with our tree database due to mainly the stormwater plan getting in the way. We've thrown the complete engineering department staff on that. Damaris and myself are working on that. But we were able to contract with a couple of local tree services to start the trimming of the downtown trees, which hasn't been done. 2002-2003 timeframe was the last time any pruning was done on these downtown eucalyptus trees. So Coastal Tree Experts and Witz Terns Tree Service of Atascadero are the two contractors. Coastal started last week. Witz is starting on Monday, and we divided the downtown in half, and they should be done in a couple more weeks with the downtown area. We'll take the outlying trees as they come with budget that we have available. And with that, I'll return it to the board.
Will they be removing that diagonal trunk on that one tree on Pacific Street that needs to come off?
Yes.
They will be?
Yes.
Yeah, so someday that tree is going to fail if we don't take it off.
Yes.
We'll lose it, and we shouldn't lose it.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, June.
I have a question about the budgeting issue. What is the budget for this, and how is the tree?
Let me interrupt you for a moment. We have Bill Woodson and Morro Bay Beautiful, who's going to make a presentation on this subject, and I would rather have them make their presentation first, and then we could have questions, because they will generate questions also. So if you don't mind. Okay, Bill? Introduce yourselves, please, and welcome, and thank you both for...
Hello there, PWAB. This brings back a lot of grand memories. I was on PWAB for a long, long time. And others behind us as well, Nancy and Wally as well.
For the sake of the viewing
audience. My name is Bill Woodson, and this is...
I'm Ann Godsey.
Ann Godsey is Vice President of Morro Bay Beautiful. I'm Treasurer.
Welcome, both of you.
Recommendation. And I think that if we can get that far tonight, we've gone pretty well into the first chapter of this book. But I just wanted to start with I passed out an article in Time magazine that has trees in cities, and I provided you all with copies, and I think that it's worth your time to read it. I think it's very interesting. It talks about urban deforestation, which has taken place. And the typical loss in our cities and our nation is over 25%. And that's because of the age of the trees, bark beetles, other pests, as well as a lot of pavements and very little support. But things are changing. And it's in this article. And it says something to the effect that cities are coming around, and there's over 2,000 cities in the United States, over big and small, that have reestablished and launched planting and preservation programs for trees. So even LA, my old alma mater, has a plan to plant over 1 million trees in the next 30 years and has already planted over 100,000 of those trees. So we are not alone in being involved with being interested in trees. So Morro Bay Beautiful, why are we here and what am I doing and what am I yapping about, is that our mission is to make Morro Bay more beautiful. That is our mission statement. It's as simple as that. And so we talked this over, our board, and we felt that we think that this is such a important element of our city and making it more beautiful that we want to put our money where our mouth is and support PWAB in their endeavor for reestablishing and revitalizing the Adopt a Tree program. And we endorse that. And we're ready to put our wallets where our mouths are. And we've put $5,000 in our 2008 budget to spend on trees in downtown Morro Bay. Now, there's many, many others that want to plant trees as well. Like we were talking about the boardwalk on the Rock, and we have ideas on that. And we're open to suggestions. We're open to discussion, and we want to work with you guys. We agree with June's draft, and we think that it nails it right to the point to where we can move on. We agree with her draft that says the participation for Morro Bay Beautiful to partner. There's only one suggestion that I have, is the fourth bullet, and it says something to the effect that the responsibility for the management of this program would be handled by a special tree board established as part of PWAP. I certainly agree with that. I think we do as a board. But we would like to add that I think it's very important that staff to be involved. So I would add with staff, and we would like to be involved since we've got money on the table. So as we would like to know where that money's going. And we would like to say something to the effect, comma, with staff and Morro Bay Beautiful participating. Other than that, we think that this draft is very well written. Thank you, June. And our only other suggestion is to have a signature block down at the bottom for the chair of PWAB and hopefully the chair of the Planning Commission to sign to send it on to the City Council for their consideration and hopefully put it on the agenda and take action.
Also add the chair of Morro Bay Beautiful to the signature?
You may if you wish.
Thank you.
It would be the president.
Oh, okay. That's right.
The president, by the way, Ann Reisner is in Seattle as we speak. She would have been here if she could have, and she was looking forward to it. But she said for us to undertake this endeavor and report back.
Okay, we're delighted. We're very pleased.
We are too. We are very, very happy that PWAB is stepping up to the plate.
Yes, it's going to buy us a lot of trees.
I guess I've got one more other thing. I've got another hat. Nancy and through consensus of the Planning Commission did assign me to write a letter to the City Council with the Planning Commission's September 2nd for their signature and approval to get it to the City Council for their action. So that's our plan. I have talked to many people, and I want to thank Rob for doing the trees and having the trees done. I know coastal tree experts have been around a long, long, long time. It brings back grand memories of our buddy Roger Pelletier and the days of where we had an adopted tree program. And I know Mr. Olson was involved in that, and he had a 50-gallon can, and as well Wally. And I'm sure Wally's going to have some things to say as well. And so I guess that's it. I don't want to take any more of your time. I know that you've had a long night already, but we're ready and raring to go.
Well, I'm very pleased. I think we're going to be continuing this to our next meeting. But to get the Adopt-a-Tree program started, thank you, yes.
Okay.
We'll get that going.
Okay.
Did Nancy or Wally have a comment they wanted to make?
Yes, we do.
All right. Please come forward. Thank you, Bill and Lynn.
I have several hats that I wear, and tonight I'm going to put on one that you may not be aware of. I am a member of Morro Bay Beautiful and a strong supporter, and also of the Planning Commission. Tonight, I'm here to talk to you as the district director of the Montaña de Oro District of the California Garden Clubs Incorporated. Now, the garden clubs have a really strong, and including our little Morro Bay Garden Club, of which I am a member, have a strong commitment to civic beautification and also to urban reforestation. In fact, our state garden club president at this point, Robin Pokorsky, lives down in the San Fernando Valley, and she has a project in their botanical garden there to plant over 100 trees. It's called a trail of trees. So basically, we would like to be a partner in this project. We have educational resources in terms of the selection of trees and planting of trees. We also do have some money available. We have grants. If you've been out to our Slow Botanical Garden and noticed their new, they used to call it the Memory Garden, now they call it Life Celebration Garden. On the hill above there, we were able to get a grant for $1,000 to plant all.
For a long time, way back about 15 years ago, we had a street trees committee, and they came up with a list of trees. All I did is facilitate it. And I was on PWIB at the time, like you guys, and we put together the package. Then I became on the Planning Commission, and then we put together the package through the, because I was on the board of the estuary program, and we had a grant, and we put together this list, and it was the Yards program. It was quite nice, and that's how we got it funded. So the bottom line is you have to know what you want to do, which is you want some trees, I guess. That's your tree program. I assume, I don't know why I'm here, except you asked me for adopt a tree program. It's just that I have 50 years of experience. Everybody thinks I know something about trees. A lot of it's just management and putting it together. It's facilitation. I have to know how to type. So somebody wanted a street tree program, so we typed it all together. These professionals that were in the area, I happen to be a landscape architect, but we listened to a lot of other people, and we put together this package because we wanted it. Now, if you still want the operation and management package, we can know how to do that too. So I really don't know why I'm here, except that I have all this experience, and we can help you. I can help Bill Woodson and Moro Bay Beautiful. I can help PWAB if you want. I've also ran for council and lost by 13 points, but that's another issue.
That is, and we won't go there.
So I've got a lot of experience. But
I'll tell you why you're
here. I'm 72 and I'm getting old and I can't hear.
Well, Wally, I can tell you why you're here, and that is I'd like to have you be in charge of the Adopt-a-Tree program.
You'd like to have me do what?
Manage the Adopt-a-Tree program, because you are highly qualified.
Well, I'm qualified.
And as you said, you type very well.
But I don't want to do anything anymore.
That's all right, Wally.
10 years of experience is too much. No, you'll have to have somebody put together. Now, if Woodson's do it, and you know, I like his value system, Moro Bay Beautiful, because what we had it before, we had it. I was kind of like the conduit that pulled this thing together all the way through the street tree committee, which, by the way, they were fired, and then we had to. PWAB, and then I was put on PWAB. It came all the way through, so you have to have somebody kind of bring it through. Bill Olson remembers all this stuff, and so does Mr. Ewing, because they were on the original street tree people who actually volunteered to go out and water these trees. Whenever you have a list of something and you want to do something, it takes operation and maintenance. That's when I worked on the Stanislaus National Forest, and that's a big deal. That takes a lot of effort. You know, I don't think you want to do that. You just want to.
Well, we want to do that eventually.
Oh.
But tonight.
Well, that's a big deal.
Tonight we're going to deal
both
with.
Times it took me 3 or 4 years to facilitate that.
Wally, thank you.
I'll do what you want.
Thank you.
As long as I don't have to do any work, okay?
I'm relying on you, Wally. Thank you. Okay. I don't think we're going to get to the whole tree issue tonight, so we're going to extend it into September. But what I would like to do tonight is have the beginnings of this Adopt-a-Tree program, because we have Moro Bay Beautiful, we have Wally, we have Nancy, Rob, and I think we need to, I would like us to make a recommendation to council that they reopen and reinstitute the Adopt-a-Tree program. The basic management files, our city staff has them, I believe, from a few years ago. We could find them. It's a fairly simple program to manage. It's a fairly simple program to do. It just takes commitment and involvement of concerned citizens, not necessarily board members, but also concerned citizens, who are willing to get out there, plant trees, and maintain them. And they need to be maintained for a minimum of 1 year, depending on the tree that we choose. I would like to begin by having the Adopt a Tree program replace trees that are needed in the downtown area of our city. And we're talking only about public trees, not private. Morro Bay Boulevard and arterial streets that need trees. So, having said all of this, where does the board stand? Bill.
Well, what do you want to do? Make a motion and advise the council to get the show on the road?
Repeat that, please.
I say, do you want us to make a motion? We advise the council to get the show on the road to do this?
Eventually,
that's
yes.
What it amounts to.
Okay.
As I see it.
Very good. Noah.
I think we have the beginnings of that with the draft that June's put together. So why don't we focus our efforts on resolving this draft and making any recommendations we have to make our PWAB comfortable with it so we can move it on to the planning
committee? Polly, in this...
Noah's still talking at
okay.
the moment.
Okay, I thought it was finished. I'm sorry.
That was obviously including the recommendations.
Okay, matched by private parties.
Comma, grants.
Grants.
Comma.
And or the city.
Yes.
Okay.
I definitely agree with the addition in the last bullet point as recommended, which was with staff and Morro Bay Beautiful participating. I think that's excellent.
I'm going to put city staff.
Yes. And I would assume Morro Bay Beautiful would include citizens in general as well. So that would pertain to Wally and others. So I'm comfortable with it as it is. The last thing I thought that would be worth considering besides the signatures at the bottom would be that we make a reference to the Green City Accords that the city's signed onto, and this would be in the second to last paragraph. Revitalization of this program would help us comply with requirements set forth by the National Arbor Day Foundation for our designation as a tree city, as well as our efforts to interact with the Green City Accords.
We've already signed that, haven't we, the city?
We have, and as part of that, there were certain landmarks and progress points that the city was hoping to respond to. Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, as they relate to street trees, it was basically no reduction in canopy area is what they were looking for, and perhaps increasing the amount of canopy area over the streets.
So perhaps for our designation as a tree city and goals within the Green City Accords.
As well as goals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, June. As well as goals set forth by the Green Accords signed on by the city.
Sure.
Set forth in the Green Accords.
Green City.
That, yes, in fact, staff would be committed. And I can't specify exactly what type of help we'd need at this point, but just that in general, that you would make a statement that you're willing to support moving forward with this. And PWAB will cut.
Yes, we can make that recommendation to City Council, and be happy to support whatever City Council wants us to do in relationship to trees.
I think what June is asking is that you support our recommendation to City Council. Is that what you're asking, June?
All of the above.
I am. All of the above, yes. Adopt a very positive.
I support trees, but I do work for the City Council.
Okay, we don't want to get you in trouble there. But you got the message, right, Rob?
Yes.
Thank you, June. John.
Are we only talking about the draft still?
We're talking about Adopt a Tree program.
Okay.
I just hope, in order for this to stay fun and keep people interested, that it gets moved forward full speed ahead. This should be a fun and easy thing to do and not some long, drawn-out process. And if it's possible to get it going this year, because a rainy season will be approaching and the trees would like that.
Thank you, John. We all share that, yes. Absolutely correct. Matthew. Okay. June, can you rewrite the polished draft, updated draft, into a formal letter?
Yes, I will be happy to
please.
Do that.
Please. And signatories on the letter, again, are Chair of PWAB?
Chair of Planning Commission and the President of Morro Bay Beautiful.
Very good.
Does that, and city staff.
Yes. Bill, come up and...
That sounds real good. I was wondering how... Could you sign that before I get it to take it to the Planning Commission? Could that already be done? Then I could take it. I could get Ann to sign it. And then I can... Is that in the cards?
June?
I could get this retyped in the next day or two and pass it on to you, Roger. And then
yep.
you can pass it to the Planning Commission.
Right.
And then Ann can
Okay,
sign.
Good.
Will
because
be
I need it
town?
In the next... few days, because the Planning
right.
Commission agenda is being generated as we speak for the subsequent meeting in the second.
Will Ann be back in town in order to sign this in time to get it to you?
I know how to get her to sign it.
Okay.
So then we all, you on board with this letter? Good. Everybody?
Yes. Full steam ahead.
I say yes, but I also think it's important that if we don't do it tonight at our next meeting, we talk about the structure of this board.
Oh,
how
definitely.
It's going to be laid out and
definitely.
Who's going to be on it and all
yes.
those types of details.
Yes,
you don't want to let those go by.
Right. Okay. Very good, Jim. Thank you.
You know, one thing we ought to, and Wally's gone now, but I want to ask him, there is some really big trees that will work in our microclimate, because it's like it's this article here, you know, there it is again. The big tree does 60 to 70 times the pollution removal of a small tree. A lot of cities are trying to plant these. It takes years to get them there, but you got to start sometime, you know.
Well, that's
we're
why
we're already 30 years too late here.
That's why we
but so we should have put some emphasis on getting some big trees, because they, you know, the only big trees we had were the pine trees, which are rapidly disappearing, and I don't even think they qualify as the really big ones, you know, the ones with the massive spreads that do the good.
You're right. You're correct. We do need them. And that's the reason to define landmark trees, so we don't lose any of the big trees we currently have.
Yeah.
But we will do that at the next meeting. Okay. Bill, we're gonna have this letter ready for you. And at the next meeting, next PWAB meeting in September, we're going to have a continued conversation and debate on
that. Would be good. You know, as also part of your packet, there's a tree list project list, of which there's
right.
a many details. But that could be also, if you assign a tree committee, maybe the entire seven don't want to be involved. Maybe you want to subcommittee it off to three or four or five or something
well,
like that. That's up to
out.
You. But if you want to do it in September,
mm-hmm.
We'll have representatives here if you're interested.
We have John writing our tale very carefully.
Well, John,
we are going to get
John,
this done
John
immediately.
John and I have done many jobs together
yes.
before, and we understand each other and like each other, and have done, and he is a whip cracker.
Okay. Well, I'm very pleased that of the positive outpouring for trees, and I'm delighted that
all right. one way or the other.
Very good. What does the board want to do right now? The agenda item actually was an urban forest update. I would like to make a recommendation, because of the time and the lateness of the hour, that we continue our urban forest management discussion and our landmark tree definition to the next meeting in September, if the board is comfortable with that.
Before we get a second, Rob, when is
microphone, Matt.
Before we get a second on that, Rob, when is the that plan for the urban trees due?
There is no due date.
Did you have anything else you wanted to present to us tonight, or did you already?
No, that was really it. You had asked a little bit about the budget regarding trees. Up until this year, the tree budget was mixed in with street maintenance, storm drain maintenance. This year, our finance department broke it out. And we took a look at some of the budget items that we spent on. We divided up the street maintenance budget and put some in storm drains, some in street trees. But that's kind of a guess for the first year. And we'll refine that as we go through the year and see how much we really need to spend on tree maintenance as a proportion of the streets budget. But it is a general, like I said, it is a general fund item. And it does compete with other things, other general fund dollars. Such as street maintenance, storm drain maintenance, and the other general fund departments.
Just so you're aware, the Arbor Tree Foundation, one of their stipulations for being a tree city, there's four standards that they'd like us to adhere to. They'd like the city or have some kind of funding for $2 per citizen per year. So that would be $20,000 a year to have a viable, what they would consider a viable working tree plan.
And we do spend at least that amount a year in tree. Unfortunately, the majority of that money gets spent for tree removals. Tree removals are very expensive, and that's where most of our...
Is there any way to see what we have spent in previous years on tree removal? Anything directly related to trees?
I believe there is. We didn't do the exhaustive research for this budget year. We looked at some of the major items that were spent and made I believe it was 25% of contract services that before was lumped in with streets. We moved that into tree services. At mid-year, we'll make those adjustments as necessary to backfill that item. For example, the downtown tree trimming for the 390 trees is going to cost the city about $30,000 for that tree trimming.
But that's the first major maintenance project we've had since 03?
02, 03 year, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, is there anything else anyone wishes to add on this particular subject? Are we all in agreement to continue the conversation on urban forest and next meeting? Okay. Let me check the agenda if there's anything else. Urban future agenda, September, sanitary sewer management plan. Rob?
That was an item that was deferred, I believe, from this meeting. So we were going to, as part of that sanitary sewer management plan, we need to have some public outreach, and we're going to bring it one chapter at a time. I think so that we could fit all the nitrate stuff in, we moved two chapters to September. Was a discussion, but I still think there's enough room to talk about, have some more discussion about trees.
I would rather have most of September's meeting, and I think the board would too, strictly on trees. Urban forest management plan, landmark tree definition.
Okay, I'll have Dylan make his presentation very brief on the sanitary sewer management
plan.
That's something that we need to but it can be a fairly brief presentation.
Okay. And then the stormwater management and the North Main Street Class 2 bike lanes are still set for October. Okay.
Yes, October.
So September we're going to add the urban forest management plan continuation. And 18th, is it? 17th. Thank you. Next PWAB meeting, September 17th, 2008, here at the Vets Hall, and I thank you all for attending, watching, listening. Have a wonderful evening. Take care and stay well, everybody. Good night.